Well, good morning. I think the unanimous sentiment is that it is good to be back. I appreciate Justin voicing that in the songs. I appreciate everybody that said that because it is good to be back. I can say it from a firsthand perspective. I saw LJ earlier and I said, LJ, it's good to see you back, brother. And then I said, but I haven't been here either. And so, you know, we've been keeping up with each other on email and different conversations to see how everyone's doing. And we've been blessed to at least I have, to be able to feel like I could see you guys and hear you guys on the live stream. But there's just something that is lacking when you're sitting at home unable to be here. There's something that is so uniquely special and God-ordained when we are here together in the same room, worshiping God, singing together with one voice, lifting our minds up in prayer, and just being together as a family. So it really is great to be back. I wanted to warn you about a few post-COVID symptoms that I have seen in myself, and just, you know, maybe you've seen them in yourself or others as well. And the first one is post-COVID nervous energy. You know, where you sat still too long, you haven't been able to talk to people, and now you might burst forth when you see someone and just say everything you've been thinking over the last, you know, month or so, where you haven't been able to tell them all the cool stuff that's been happening. So sometimes that happens. There's also something that may accompany that, post-COVID sassiness. You know, it's kind of along the same vein of thought. More alarming is the post-COVID fog, where your brain, you know, you just pause sometimes and you're like, what was I doing? And what was I trying to remember? Or you use the wrong word over and over in a talk and have no consciousness that you're just saying, you know, the ludicrous instead of lucrative, and people are like, what's wrong with this guy? And then the post-COVID cough, unfortunately, I'm still not free of that. So sometimes you may see me blank out a little bit while I'm talking. You may see me start coughing, but please don't let it detract from what I have to say. And you may think it's strange that I'm standing here this morning, and it is a little bit abnormal. But we've got something that is a little bit different that we're going to be talking about this morning. We have an announcement, and we have an announcement regarding a path to an eldership here at Middleburg. I don't know about you, but when I first heard that thought that we have a path now to an eldership at Middleburg, my heart was lifted. It's something that we've all been thinking about for a very long time, trying to move that direction little by little, and now more quickly that direction as things are beginning to fall into place. So I'm here to read an announcement to you, and there'll be others that speak as well this morning. But basically, here's the announcement. For the past several years, at every men's business meeting of the church, we've had a monthly agenda item to encourage men to continue to prepare themselves for service to the church, the congregation here as elders. That's a discussion that you could probably say in some ways is maybe 5 or 10 years old. We've been discussing it in a concerted way since about the middle of 2019. And that thought that we've been intentionally provoking each other, think about this, guys, be preparing yourself. The same way that we do with God's Word on any subject. We try to continue to chip away at what is lacking and add to and make each other better. We do that because Titus 1:5 tells us that we lack God's ideal order in not having qualified elders or shepherds or overseers. And I think we've all understood that. That we need elders here. That is the goal. That's the intention. That's the objective and the pinnacle of leadership here at the church locally that God sets in order. According to the New Testament, the evangelist's responsibility is to set in order what is lacking by seeing that qualified men are appointed to serve as elders. For that to happen, there must be at least two. We always see in the scriptures a plurality. We don't ever see a single man, or in other words, one person serving as an elder. But we see a plurality. So for that to happen, there must be at least two men. That you can find that concept in Acts 14:23, who are not only qualified according to the scriptures, but that are also willing to serve. 1 Timothy 3:1-7 and Titus 1:5-9 discuss those ideas. We are pleased to tell you that in recent discussions among the men, that monthly discussion and other discussions outside of that, that we have learned that there are two men presently willing to step up and serve as elders if the church finds them to be qualified and asks them to do so. So that's what the discussion that we're having here today is about. We now have a plurality of men that are willing and believe themselves able to serve. The men, in other words, the men leaders, as serving as leaders, the men's meeting and the group of men that do that, are in complete agreement that it is now time to begin a process whereby the entire church will assess the qualifications of elders, as outlined in the New Testament, and consider whether or not to ask these men, these two men that we're about to mention here, to serve. In this process, each member is asked, as always, to engage in Bible study. This is not something we want to force anybody into. It's something we want you to think about. Hopefully, there is at least a solid underpinning in the minds of most that tell us what elders look like, tell us the qualifications, and give us a good idea of what direction we should be thinking. But we want everybody here to proceed forward in Bible study and in prayer and decide whether or not you, and then by extension we, are willing to trust and follow the leadership and oversight of these two men. An effective eldership requires the trust of the brethren, so each one of us really needs to make it a point to review this, to think about it, and to decide if we are willing to trust and submit to their oversight. We are not aware at this time of there being any other men currently among us other than these two who are presently ready to consider themselves as ready to serve as elders. So without further ado, I'll mention the names. The two men are Darrell Townsend and Jerry Crolius. Rather than having me explain in my words how they arrived at this decision, how they've prayed on this and everything that's gone into this, we're going to have those two gentlemen come up one at a time and discuss from their perspective the thoughts, the discussions, the conversations, the prayers that led them to feel like it's time for me to step up and serve in this role as an elder if the congregation is willing to have them. So I will invite first Darrell Townsend to come up and to do just that, to convey his thoughts on the subject.
Wow, I'm nervous. And of course, my loving brother Justin leads every tear-jerking song in the book. And I really have not been emotional about this at all until just this morning. And Justin, I blame him for that. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Real quick, on another note, and it was announced Wednesday night, but again, we've had so many out, and I just got to thinking it'd be easy. It wasn't in the bulletin, and I failed to tell Jeff about it, is Andrew and Stephanie Benson and all their children have decided to become part of our group here. So they're back from post-COVID now also, so we're just want to welcome y'all and tell you we appreciate you, your desire to work here with us, and everybody get a chance. They're sitting on the second row, and they got the four little ones with them, so it'd be easy to spot them and find them. So welcome to the family here at Middleburg. In 2 Corinthians, I said chapter 10, I meant chapter 11, Paul has been forced into defending himself because of the false teachers and those who were claiming that he wasn't who he said he was and that he was somehow lesser apostle. I don't read the whole thing, but this is a section of Scripture be familiar to many of you where he talks about, I've been in prison, I've been beaten, verse 24, five times I received at the Jews 40 lashes, and he goes on and on and on and on. And then verse 28 is a verse that's always stood out to me, and that is, and apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And there were times in my life where I didn't know what that meant. When I was in my 20s, I knew I was going to be an elder. I was already married. Missy and I got married at 18. We hadn't had any children yet, but if I were going to stay married, we were going to have children one way or the other. And my dad had been an elder for 22 years. And so I just grew up with the mindset that I was going to be an elder. And probably in my pride, I probably thought I was already ready when I was in my 20s. And then as life gets going, I get into my 30s and in 40s. And I thought for sure that one day I would be an elder, but I understood more and more because I'd seen men suffer through it in one sense and men serve in such a great way in another way. But I saw the toll that that kind of service took on men. And in my 40s, I got to wondering whether I would ever serve as an elder. And then at times in my 40s, I knew I would never be qualified to serve as an elder. I just wasn't the man that I needed to be that person. Then I started doing the prison work. And I think, understood what Paul said here, is this feeling that he has, the anxiety for all the churches. I feel that with all the men that come through the transition program, this daily pressure to help them make it, to help them succeed, to spiritually see to their needs, to wonder whether they're okay or not, to wonder whether they will go back to the world. And I felt that, and I understood what it must be like to be an elder. And as I got more and more into the prison work, I was convinced I would never be an elder. Not because the pressure was too much, because I think I finally understood it at that point, but because I felt like I was serving God to the best of my ability, and I was where God wanted me to be in the prison work. And I was doing that. And so I was pleasing to God. I was being a good servant. I was devoting my time and my effort and my energy. And that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years. And I've come to understand that that wasn't the right mindset. And what really challenged me are two things. One is, I got used to doing that. As Bert said, it's an item in the minutes of the business meeting. Every week we talk about it. Sometimes it might only be 2 minutes. Sometimes we might spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about it. And I just got used to just ignoring that in my mind, because in my mind, I'm already busy with the prison work. I'm serving God in this way. The congregation's just going to have to find two other men. And as soon as we have two, that'd be awesome. We need an eldership. Jeff Haynes always beat a louder drum when it came to that, ever since him and Michelle moved back. And we recently have been talking about getting together as the men and studying about men's business meetings, how we conduct them, and we've talked about that and the scriptural aspects of that. And it really started hitting in my mind is the solution to this is we need elders. But again, that was easy for me to brush it off and to just say, well, there'll be men here one day that'll be qualified and can serve. And then I get a monthly report, and I shared this with the men at the business meeting, but I think it's important that I share it with y'all to help you understand how my thinking has evolved. And as I get a report from a preacher at a small congregation in Missouri, and I won't even give his name, but in his report in April, this is what he said, and I want to read, I'm not reading the full report, but all of it that pertains to elders and how it impacted me. You would think that a small church would not have issues. We do. We have to deal with them just as you do with the church you work with. I know we need more preachers, but more elders are needed too. Elders are a necessity for the local church. It's a necessity simply because God ordered it. Without qualified men, that order cannot be fulfilled. I have to deal with some of our issues as a gospel preacher and not as an elder. Jerry's talked about this. When you are a preacher at a congregation, especially you can imagine in a small congregation, you by de facto end up dealing with things as if you were an elder, although you don't want to be, nor maybe are you qualified to be. And that's what he said. He said, I've had to deal with some of our issues as a gospel preacher and not as an elder. That is a big difference. I made a mistake with a situation that I did not foresee. I have no doubt elders would have. Elders look at a current situation and think of the possible consequences. When it happens, they are ready. They already have thought it through. They are not surprised. Issues will always appear in every church. That is a given. How we deal with those issues is what can save souls. That line really hit me. How we deal with issues is what can save souls. As long as a church does not have qualified elders, many mistakes will continue to be made. Any church that believes they can accomplish all of what the Lord desires without elders are working at the church of fantasy land.
I don't think he's saying, nor do I feel right now at Middleburg, we're not accomplishing great things. I think we are. I think we're moving in great directions. We're doing a lot of good. But I think he's right. If I believe that the church here is okay without elders, then I'm living in fantasy land. I'm thinking outside of the wisdom of God. Brethren, the Lord ordered elders. He told us the qualifications for such men. We need first to pray and then start working toward getting men qualified. Why? Because that is what pleases God. And that's when I said, I am not serving as an elder now. I've never put my name forward at this point in my life because I don't think I'm qualified. The congregation here may decide I'm not, and I'm okay with that. It's not going to change my service to God, my love for you, my deep commitment to this group of people. But there's a difference between you deciding I'm not qualified and me not ever stepping up and saying I think I'm qualified.
And I want to serve. And I'm doing that, and we do that because that is what he said. That is what pleases God. He goes on to say, there are brethren who do not want to serve under elders. And he talks about, I once had two uncles that were made elders in a church that had not had bishops for over 25 years. It's been since 2003 that we've had elders here. So it's been a little less than 20 years. They asked my thoughts. I told them my fear was the church was so accustomed to functioning without elders, they would not be allowed to shepherd the flock. Before 2 months had passed, they stepped down. They told me the church would not allow them to do their work.
I do not believe that for 1 second about the brethren here. I believe if we go through this and Jerry and I are appointed as elders, that this congregation will gladly work with us as shepherds.
Brethren, such an attitude toward the work of elders is sin. It is costing souls. I am sorry for using my report to preach, but I really see a need to proclaim this message. Would anyone think I could perform the task of a gospel preacher without the gospel? So why would we think the church can be what the Lord designed it to be without having elders? That hit me right between the eyes when I read his report.
And I said to myself, I no longer am going to be the reason that Middleburg doesn't have elders. That I want to serve and please God. There's another verse that reminds me of that in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's talking about supporting evangelists and the important role that they play and why they're worthy of support. And then he talks about why he didn't get support from the church at Corinth, that he had the right to, but he didn't exercise that right. And he says in verse 15, but I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. He's being facetious a little bit. Verse 16, for I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's where I've gotten to be with the eldership. On one hand, I don't want to serve. I'm confident in the kingdom and doing what I'm doing right now. I feel content. I feel like I'm being used by God. I feel like there's more work I can do. But woe to me if I do not desire the office of an elder, because that is what God desires.
And one thing that's been clear since Jerry's been here as he's preached is that we have to be servants.
We have to serve God with all of our heart and all of our ability. And for me to decide that, oh God, I'll serve you in a prison, but I won't serve you as an elder at Middleburg, I can't live with myself anymore that way. My conscience won't allow it.
And so I ask the congregation here to consider me in that role.
I have the utmost respect for Jerry. I think Jerry will be an excellent elder. He served as an elder before. And I think the two of us in that role together will serve the church in a way that's pleasing to God. And that's all we want. And I just beg you, though, if you feel I'm not qualified, Bert will outline at the end the exact method that we're going to follow to do that. Please come talk to me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I will not consider you an enemy, but a brother and a friend. If you would do that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm glad he got to go first. But he's a tough act to follow. He said a lot of things exactly the way I feel. And I don't even want to repeat them all to you because I don't want to detract from Daryl and what he said. But I want to read you a passage from Philippians. Philippians 1. We had it up on the board after the announcements. Philippians 2. See, I can get chapters wrong too. Philippians 2 and verse 19. Paul said, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father." A couple of things. One is, if I find it sad that Paul said, "I have no one else of kindred spirit." That's pretty sad to say that. With all the work that Paul was doing and all of the influence that he had had, "I have no one else to send to you who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. They seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know Timothy's proven worth." Well, I'm very, very happy to say that we have many people in this congregation who have proven their worth and who are genuinely concerned for the souls of each other. Isn't that a blessing? And it's been my greatest blessing here, I think, of all the churches that I've ever served with. And I've been preaching the gospel full time, mostly full time, for 38 years. Not always, sometimes part-time and working a secular job. But I've never been with a congregation where so many are genuinely concerned for the soul salvation, for getting to heaven with one another. This has been the best 5 years of my life. And I'm very grateful for the brethren here for making it so positive, for the men here who have encouraged me and strengthened me, and for the example that they've set for my sons. Laura has not been here. She's 34 years old last month, and she's up in Conway, Arkansas. And she's one of the reasons why I have not persevered in seeking the eldership. I've made it known that I was not seeking the eldership. It's always been heavy on my heart that Laura has fallen away from the Lord. And I do not believe, based on my understanding of the scriptures, that that disqualifies a man from being an elder when his grown daughter, after 10 years leaving his home, falls away. But I know that there are some brethren who have thought so. And so it was always something that I did not want to pursue. And the other reason I didn't want to pursue it was because, like Daryl, I'm well content with my work as an evangelist. It fills me up. I'm very satisfied. I've never been in a congregation or had a work where I've been able to do more Bible studies. And that's the greatest thing for a preacher. If you ever, somebody mentioned that to me even this morning, I don't want to overwhelm you with another Bible study. You must be, filled up. No, never. Never think that, because it, and all evangelists will tell you, it's what you live for as an evangelist, is to study the Bible with people, because that's where God's word can have an impact. And so you feel useful when you study the Bible with people. So, turning to another scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. No, Hebrews 12. We'll get to 13. Hebrews 12. There's a verse here that has always struck me, because I've been an elder before, served for 7 years in Conway, Arkansas. And I talked with one of the elders up there this past week and rejoiced to hear that the church there is strong and doing well. If Paul wrote Hebrews, he says in verse 15, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God." And you know what? That word there, "see to it," is the word for overseer. It's the verb, episkopeo, overseer, bishop. And guess what? That verse is directed to everybody. So everybody is an overseer in some sense. Everybody is responsible to God to be looking out for one another and overseeing. And I'm convinced that an eldership cannot possibly do its job the way an eldership would want to do its job without everybody overseeing, looking out for one another. I remember serving under an eldership as an evangelist one time years ago, and they constantly exhorted the brethren to communicate with them. Help them to understand what the needs are. Help them to understand what possible issues might be. Help them to understand how they can shepherd and help and serve. It's so important. And I know after many years of us talking about this here and talking with Daryl that we're going to rely extremely heavily if we become elders here. If you find us qualified and want to trust us, then we will rely heavily on you. And we need you. That's why we've been effective so far, as Daryl said, because people are involved and people are. They have a genuine, sincere concern for souls. And I'm going to tell you, it's all that matters, right? It's all that matters, because someday, and you young people don't see it yet, but you will. Someday, we're going to pass from this life, or the Lord's going to come. Someday. It's inevitable. And so we want to be ready, because there is a life that awaits us. As Robert said this morning, this world is not our home. And if we understand that and live that way, then we will be blessed here and blessed eternally. So I'm happy to step up and serve. I didn't want to do that because, as I said, I was pretty content with serving as an evangelist, but down through the years as an evangelist, as Daryl mentioned, you feel that weight upon you when you don't have elders. And these men here and ladies, they've taken it off me greatly over the years, the last 5 years. It's been a true blessing. But there is something lacking when the Lord's church is not set in order. And so we need elders. And so if the church finds me qualified here, then I'm willing to serve. And I couldn't say it any better than the way Daryl said it. So thank you very much.
I knew you were going to take it, so I brought my iPad.
Okay, so I've got three men stationed out there with papers in their hands. They're going to begin to hand those out to the members of the congregation here while I just go ahead and start talking. It's funny, I left my paper up here, and I was like, I know that one of them is going to walk off with my paper. I was just reminded, and this is not necessarily a spiritual origin, but it's a spiritual concept. I was just reminded of a line from a movie where Marcus Aurelius asks Maximus to step up and lead at a much higher level than he ever wanted to do. And he said, with all my heart, no. And he said, that's why it must be you. And I just, it's interesting to hear men that are called upon to lead in a capacity like this both say that there's nothing in me that desires to do this just for the sake of doing it, but for the sake of pleasing the higher power of the God that we serve, they're willing to step up. So I appreciated that note that was mentioned in both men's comments. We're going to talk now about the congregational conversation period and the process that will get us to where we hope to go here, to review these two men individually, to make sure that they meet the character and the scriptural qualifications that are listed there. And so, you know, you can hold on to that paper. I've got about two items I'm going to mention before we start to read the paper. But basically, we're going to move forward with a series of classes, that on the following two Wednesday nights, which is the 26th and then the 2nd of June, 26th of this month, 2nd of June, Greg Whipple is going to bring a class each of those Wednesday nights on the qualifications of the elders, and that will give everyone the chance to sit in an adult class setting, to interact with the teacher, to ask questions about the qualifications, and hopefully to deepen and polish up our understanding of what it is to be qualified to be an elder. So we know that there will be some teachers that are like, well, I'm in a class and I don't want to miss that. So please coordinate with Justin. Let him know that you need a replacement. We'll decide if it's appropriate to just get a replacement or to bring your students in here. Justin will help you to work out a solution there. But we don't want anybody to miss out on that opportunity to be in those two Wednesday night classes. The next piece of the process is that on Sundays, the next two Sundays, that would be the 30th and then of this month, and then Jerry. Great point. The Wednesday night will be live streamed, so that if anybody either can't be here, wants to watch it live, or wants to watch it, catch up later, or rewatch it, it will be there preserved for further consideration. And then the two Sundays will be this month, the 30th, and then June the 6th, where Jerry will bring lessons from the pulpit regarding the qualifications of elders. So obviously not an interactive session like what Greg will have, but we hope that those two sets of two will help us all to fully form and finish out any questions or anything that's lacking on our concept of the eldership. Now, step three, we'll hand out a worksheet, which has now been done, with all the qualifications listed for each person to consider. So now it's time to look at that. You'll see the top there, it just explains the two men. And it essentially gives you three options. And I will read through those now as you can look at your paper and read to yourself with me. It says at the top, the men we are considering, the following two men, have expressed a willingness to serve the congregation as elders, Daryl Townsend and Jerry Crowlius. The scriptural qualifications for elders are listed on the back of the sheet. We'll look at that in a minute. As you prayerfully consider these men as spiritual overseers, please choose from the following three options. And again, we can't emphasize enough the importance for each individual to search their heart, to make sure that they understand and that they are on board with this process. So option one, you have no concerns. You've considered both men. You've looked at their character. You've looked at the qualifications. And you believe that both men are scripturally qualified to serve. You're willing to submit yourself to their spiritual oversight. Your silence is adequate if that's what you would like to choose. Or if you choose to voice your approval, please do so in a private message or conversation with those men. So certainly nothing wrong with saying, I think this is the best thing in the world. I want to just let you know that I'm going to support you. I think they would both be built up and edified by hearing that. But if you're not comfortable, you know, some people don't like to jump out there and have conversations. That's fine, too. We'll interpret your silence as approval. Option two, you want to ask a question or express a concern, which, as both men said, that's, you know, completely welcome. In other words, you believe that these men may be qualified to serve as elders, but you have a question or a concern about one or both. You were encouraged to go directly to either man to seek clarification about your question or your concern. We feel like that is the general principle we find in the Scriptures, to go to the individual and talk to them. Or if you need, in other words, you need help. You don't think that you're up to it, but you want to have this conversation. Myself, Burt Rogers, or Justin Keene have volunteered to discreetly discuss your concern with you. After discussing your concern, if you believe that there is a basis in fact that the candidate fails to meet one or more of the qualifications taught in the Scriptures, you will need to move to option three. So then option three, you want to pursue a possible scriptural objection to the man's qualification or his character. You are encouraged to meet alone with the candidate to explain your objection. Or, if you feel like you need help, you may fill out the form below and give it to me, Bert, or Justin. And then one of us will work to facilitate a meeting between you and the candidate, or one or both of us. And we'll sit in the meeting if needed with you to make sure you have the support that you feel like you need to have that discussion with the candidate. In this meeting, you may become satisfied that the candidate is qualified, or the candidate may agree that he is not qualified and withdraw his name from consideration. If neither of those outcomes occur, Bert or Justin will convey your objection to the men of the church, and an additional meeting will be required with the goal of an outcome in accordance with God's will. All scriptural objection forms must be signed and submitted to Bert or Justin. The opportunity to raise objections will be closed after Sunday, June 6th. In other words, when the day of Sunday, June 6th is over. That's your last day. You know, till I go to bed, till Justin goes to bed, or till these guys are asleep. That's it. So if you notice, there's a common thread throughout that. God's will, the Scriptures, the character of the men. We just really want to emphasize that that's what this discussion is about. To make sure that we are doing God's will, adhering to what the Scriptures teach on it, and that we are making sure that these guys have a character that is fitting to be an elder. Nowhere in that did we say, you know, we're trying to just solicit opinions to you know, dig up dirt on guys or anything like that. I don't think that's a problem we have here, but the idea is just to keep these in an orderly and a godly fashion as we have these discussions. And then as you look down at the bottom, you see there's a place to write down the particular objection, if you have one, on a line, to print your name and to sign your name. Obviously, it's hard to follow up with a person if you don't know who they are, so it's very important that we know who you are if you want to discuss an objection further. And then as you look at the back there, it's kind of a cool little worksheet. It's really got the ideas that are presented in the Scriptures broken down. You'll see some of them are essentially summarized. Some of them are expanded upon. Maybe there's a word that's used there from the Scripture that is maybe a bit older than the dialect that we speak today, so it may be broken out a little bit more to say, here's how we would say this in a more modern fashion. You may even want to get two of these sheets, since we are considering two men. And just as you review them, go down the list, you know, for this man and go down the list for that man, so that you have two totally different sheets. We can certainly make copies or make more available to you. I'm not going to go into the verses here. This is really a personal study, personal thought and prayer process that's outlined here on the back. But it is a nice way for us to, some of us maybe have made our decision already, some of us maybe have not, but it's a nice way for us to think through it on paper and to say, yes, this man is exactly what he needs to be and he meets the scriptural qualifications. So that is the process. You know, again, me and Justin are ready to talk if you need to talk to us, but we would always suggest you go right to Jerry or right to Daryl. All right, going back now to kind of the remainder of the outline that we're going to have. You don't have this in front of you. I'll read this to you. Just a couple of final thoughts here. We encourage everybody here to engage in this process. And in this assessment, if you'd like to ask questions or raise concerns about qualifications, we want to make it easy for you to work through the matters properly. You can either contact Daryl or Jerry directly, or obviously you can work with me or Justin if you need some support in that process. One of the things that both Daryl and Jerry wanted to reiterate is that there are no wrong questions. You know, questions are understood to be a way of understanding information and understanding a situation better. So they are ready to answer questions. They don't want anybody to think, as they both said, that a question is bad. So if you have a question, don't keep it to yourself and then wish you'd ask it, you know, 2 years from now. Let's talk about it now. Let's get it worked out and make sure that you have the answer that you need. It's essential that every member's concerns be heard and considered. Neither Darren nor Jerry desires to serve if there are legitimate character or scriptural concerns that cannot be resolved. And we want to make sure that we take the time that's needed to address these questions and to achieve a result that's in harmony with God's will. But we also want to be efficient. So let's make sure that this is a high priority for each person here. 2 weeks seems to be a reasonable period of time. It seems like that if there's anything on your mind, it should be plenty of time to settle it in that duration. So again, the men have made themselves available. Jerry and Daryl and me and Justin will make ourselves available inside that 2 week period to help you if you need help. So with that being concluded now, Jerry,
would you like to offer the invitation?
No, that's fine too. You didn't have anything else to expand upon? Okay, we're going to move now into the remainder of our service. And basically, just like we would after any sermon, we're going to offer an invitation and we're going to have a song and a closing prayer. And I hope for anybody that's visiting with us, I feel like this is something that may not be, need to be said to the members, but hopefully for anybody that's visiting or looking on the live stream, you've understood from this conversation that God's will is paramount in our life. It's paramount in our individual lives, and it's paramount in the congregation. And we just want to do what God says we should do. We've concluded that the only way to please Him, because He is God, is to just give in to His will, to bow ourselves down to Him. It's an easy process to state, an easy process perhaps to talk about, but it is a lifelong process to truly bend ourselves over and over. Every time we have a conflict with God's will, to bend ourselves and to do what God says is right above what I might feel that I want to do. And we recognize, too, that we're frail. That's part of why we've wanted to have this conversation like we have, because we may have missed something. And we recognize that in the lives of each individual here, I stand before you as a human who has realized that he was a sinner one time. Long ago, when I thought that I was righteous, I was enlightened by God's word. I had missed something terrible. I'd missed a number of terrible things. And frankly, we sometimes dip back into sin, even when we think we've removed ourselves. So we want to be a humble group that accepts anyone here who recognizes their sin, who says, you know what, I've moved away from God's will. I've stepped off the path, and I need to get back on it. So at this time, in closing out the speaking portion of our day together, we just want to say, if you're here with us and you have sinned, you've stepped back away from the God who saved you, you've forgotten about Him, you've moved Him to the back of your mind, then we want to help you to change that. We want to help you to make God the apple of your eye. We want to help you to make those choices and those life decisions to keep you in fellowship with Him. And so all of us susceptible to sin, but all of us also ready to forgive you and to support you and to help you, ask that if we can help you at this time, then please come forward while we stand and sing.